This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. We cover a lot of different things happening around the Umpqua Valley, and really, in a lot of ways, kind of a almost historic event happening very soon. Umpqua Valley Wine Growers Association, Greatest of the Grape. Alex Swanson is executive director. I mean, this is Oregon's longest running wine event.
Correct. Oregon's oldest wine festival and continuously running wine festival started in 1970.
Man, and I know it started out very small. It's evolved over the years. It's shifted around. Last year, you went back to Seven Feathers, and I understand that worked out really well.
It did. The community was very supportive of the return to Seven Feathers. You know, people can stay the night, make a weekend of it, and it's going to be fabulous this year.
So how many wineries are going to be there?
We have 22 wineries, and they'll each be pouring two wines, a red wine and a non-red wine. And then, you know, as we say in the name, we will award the greatest of the grape to the wine that was chosen, People's Choice Award this time, for the wine that people like the best. So the consumers get to vote, which is kind of fun.
And now, just for people who are not as, you know, up on wine possibly, you said a red and a non-red, because
it could be lots of different wines. So it could be a white wine. It could be a rosé, which is kind of a light pink wine made out of red grapes. It could be a sparkling wine, and we will have all of the above there.
And you've got a lot of food to go with this, too.
We do, yes. Lots of tasty appetizers. Just like last year, we won't have the restaurant pairings. We're not quite back to that level yet. But Seven Feathers is putting together some special appetizers for us, some special hors d'oeuvres. So there'll be nice food and wine pairings.
And what kind of turnout did you have last year?
So last year, we had about 500 people, which was fabulous. We've got room for a few more. Ticket sales are actually a little ahead of last year. So, you know, we're hoping for about the same amount of people, which was good. You know, there's enough room in the space, space in the room, I should say. And people still have an opportunity to chat with the winemakers about the wines and ask questions, because it's the winemakers pouring the wines at this event.
Now, for people who, you know, listen to this, I mean, they live in the Umpqua Valley, they're aware of wine, maybe it's never been part of their culture, or they feel like, gosh, I'm going to walk into this place with all these people who know way more than I do, and so they're kind of reluctant to show up. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, I'll start with the attire. The attire is officially festive, you know, cocktail attire, but wear whatever you want to wear. Dress comfortably. And we kind of take that approach with wine as well. Drink what you like. So this is a great opportunity to really hone in and find out what you like. With each winery pouring two wines, that's 44 wines to be able to taste. And, you know, you're able to figure out, oh, I love Pinot Noir. I didn't know I liked it. Or, oh, Bocco Noir or Tempranillo. I had no idea. Hello.
And some of the same varietals from different parts of the Umpqua Valley, especially if you can put them together and notice the differences, even if they're maybe from the same year.
Yeah. I mean, that's the neat thing about the Umpqua Valley, as we've discussed in the past, is just, you know, from top to bottom, we've got Elkton, Oregon up north, all the way down to, you know, where we have Free, Girardet, Abicella, Spangler down in the south growing really warm climate grapes. You know, we've got that variety. So Pinot Noir produced at the north end of the Umpqua Valley and the south end might taste really different. And this is a fun way to be able to compare and contrast those wines in one place, one evening.
You mentioned Elkton. You have brought Elkton to Roseburg today. Introduce our other guest.
We have. So I've brought Michelle Nickel. She and her husband, Mark Nickel, own Haynes Creek Vineyard in the Umpqua Valley in Elkton specifically. And she's here with us today. She left the baby at home. But yeah.
So, Michelle, how long have you guys been involved in the world of wine?
I've been in the wine world for 4 years. My husband's been making wine for close to 30.
And what's it been like having Haynes Creek?
Oh, a fantastic whirlwind. We bought the vineyard a year and a half ago, a little more than that, last May, over a year. Gosh, it's a lot of work, but it's something that we both really love, being outside, working hard, and then taking the fruit that we've grown up to the winery and making delicious wine.
And it's quite a process, and you're doing all of this, I understand, with a baby.
Yeah, although he's rapidly becoming a toddler. Sebastian is our son, and he's a year and a half next month. He's not with me today, which is very bizarre. I keep kind of looking around, wondering what he's getting into.
Well, and I suspect that dealing with a baby may be easier than dealing with a toddler at a vineyard. That's just my recollection from way back. So for the wine community, the Umpqua Valley, what kinds of things have you learned that, talking with, not necessarily, wouldn't necessarily use the word competitors, because it seems like a lot of the wine industry here, a lot of people know each other or get to know each other. They're trying to learn from each other. Sometimes they even sit around and evaluate each other's work. What have you learned, or talk about some of those relationships that have developed?
To speak to that, I couldn't agree with you more. There's a wonderful community that's very supportive here in the Umpqua. We just did a technical tasting with maybe a dozen of the wineries in the area. So every an owner or a winemaker from each winery is coming, bringing a wine that they want to discuss. We met at SOE and spent the morning blind tasting. So you don't know what's in your glass, and you're tasting and smelling and taking notes and comparing at a small table, and then kind of talking with the whole room about the wines. And then ultimately, the winemaker will stand up and say, yep, I think that's mine, and talk to you about the process and anything that you might want to ask or learn. It's a fantastic experience. And I think something that that was the second one that we've done recently, and we'll continue to nurture that.
Well, I sat in on a couple of those. I think the first one was with Earl Jones at Abicella way back.
Mm.
And it was with he was the only wine professional there, but it was basically a brown bag, tasting. And it was really fascinating. And I thought I knew some things that I didn't know. And I actually knew some things that I wasn't confident I knew. So I had begun to learn more than I thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
that's
fantastic. It's really a fun thing for just wine friends to get together and do, is we call it just brown bag, where you take a bunch of different wines, you taste them blind, and then figure out which ones you like, which ones you don't like. And it's really funny when you unveil them, because, maybe someone brings a $2 chuck, maybe someone brings an $80 bottle of wine. And it's just a fun thing for friends to be able to kind of get together and do to strengthen your wine knowledge and have fun.
Now, you mentioned this started 1970, so 53rd year, right?
Yes, it is, which is incredible, yeah. And as you say, it's been a lot of different places, but this will be our second year back at Seven Feathers Casino Resort.
Which really does, like you said, gives the opportunity to spend the night down there, do a little getaway, and just be able to enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. And pro tip, if you use a link on our website, you get a discount on the hotel room for the evening.
So that's coming up. We're not that far off, right? What's the date?
So it's February 1st, 2025. Can't believe it.
So this is 2.5 weeks away.
Yeah, sure is. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And again, what are the ticket prices?
So tickets are $100. That includes tastes of all the wines. That includes appetizers. That includes a souvenir wine glass. There's also VIP tickets available, where if you want to come an hour earlier at 5 o'clock instead of the normal 6 o'clock hour, then you get early access to reserve a table, chat with the winemakers. There'll be some extra food options available then.
All right, we're going to talk more about it when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. It's Inside Douglas County at 1245 from News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1246. Lars Larson at 1, True Wealth Radio at 4. Tomorrow, be ready, the mayor, the city manager, with the state of the city. Nikki Messenger, Larry Rich come in to talk about what's going on in Roseburg in the past year, what is ahead. Much of it will follow the speech the mayor gave at last night's city council meeting to Mayor Larry Rich and city manager Nikki Messenger tomorrow, talking about not politics. We're talking about wine. And Allie Rogers, executive director of the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers, Michelle Nickel from Haynes Creek Vineyard and Tasting Room in Elkton. Now, one of the components you guys do with this, it goes back probably a very long time, is this Wheel of Wine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a fun history with that. So it's a wheel that you get to spin. For $25, you take a spin on the wheel, and that money gets donated to charity, and you end up with a bottle of wine that's been donated by one of the wineries.
And just for people that are know the wine bottles are not on the wheel.
No, they are not.
Somebody asked me about that once. Engineering-wise, that would be a problem. But so you basically win either way you go.
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah, you might end up with a $25 bottle of wine. You might end up with a $50 bottle of wine, value-wise.
But all the proceeds from this goes to a charity each year. Talk about that.
Correct. So the charity that we've selected to be the recipient of all of the Wheel of Wine fundraising is Douglas Cares. And they're a local charity that strives to eradicate child abuse and neglect in Douglas County through their support services and prevention.
So that will be going on, and people can help support that. What other things happen during the evening?
Yeah, so there's the silent auction, which we are just kind of putting that together, but there's wine packages, there's winemaker tastings, there's a lot of golf to be had. So the silent auction helps raise money. This is actually, the entire event is a fundraiser for the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers Association. We're a nonprofit that raises money to do marketing for the wineries and vineyards in the region and to help support them and get the word out of Umpqua Valley wine country. So the silent auction helps support the work that we do all year round and putting together new events like the Harvest Tour that we just did in September.
And you've also added another event, sort of event,
yeah,
for the next day.
Yeah, correct. So it's a new thing we're doing. We're calling it a Sunday special. And for everyone that went to Greatest of the Grape, if you show your ticket at one of the 16 participating wineries on the following day, Sunday, February 2nd, you'll get waived tasting fees. So it's a great way to visit any wineries you may have missed the night before, or to go stock up on some of your favorite wines from the evening. So it's a way to also explore new wineries, too, that you aren't familiar with.
Now, Michelle, you guys have not been here as long. Were you able to go to this last year?
Well, I had a baby attached to me, and, this was a grown-ups only event. But my husband, Mark, was there pouring. So the winery.
Do you get to go this year?
I think so, yeah. That's the plan.
Very good. Well, there are babysitters even in Elkton. So.
Yes.
So that would be a good experience. So you mentioned the people getting to vote. Do you do other judging as well?
So over the years, we have had professional judges come down. There's been something called a judge's dinner. And after COVID, things kind of changed with that. So we're still figuring out, okay, what's this event going to look like going forward? So for this year specifically, it's going to be People's Choice Award. So we're going to have the best non-red wine, again, a rosé, white wine, sparkling wine, and then separately the best red wine. And then whichever of those two wines got the most votes from the people attending the event gets crowned the greatest of the grape. And each consumer, when they check in and get their ticket and come on in, they'll get two voting tickets. So they get to choose their two favorite wines. And then whichever wine gets the most votes gets greatest of the grape.
And it's interesting as well, because the years I've gone, sometimes it's not always, I mean, somebody might walk in and look at maybe three or four of the major players, the bigger wineries, and say, oh, it's going to be them. And it might be, but sometimes people are surprised.
Yeah, and this is, again, a great chance to discover wineries that you're not familiar with, that might not have a tasting room that's open to the public, and wines that you're not familiar with. So, you know, last year, the greatest of the grape was a rosé, which is, you know, a pink wine that's been made out of red grapes that were left on the skin for a little bit. And that was the first ever rosé winner. It's usually a red wine, but sometimes we get surprised.
Wow, very good. So, Michelle, talk about a typical day dealing with a vineyard and a tasting room.
At what time of year?
Oh, well, and there's a good point. It really varies, doesn't it?
Yeah, indeed. Look, right now we're getting ready to start pruning. We have a 12 acres of vines. So, you know, if the two of us were undivided, that would be maybe 2 weeks of full-time work. We will probably take the better part of a couple of months to chip away at that. So, you know, a few hours of pruning in the morning. There's always someone behind the bar in the tasting room on the weekend. There's emails to write. And this time of year, we are, you know, harvest has wrapped up. Ferments are quiet. And we're in this phase of stabilizing white wines and, you know, racking reds and putting them to barrels. So there's a quiet hum in the winery as well.
So if people have been out to Elkton, how do they find you?
You follow the little blue signs that say Haynes Creek Vineyard. We are a stone's throw from Bradley, but you know, you can't climb through the field. So,
well, you can, but you probably shouldn't.
Yes, well, indeed. We're off of Vintage Drive. So you kind of come off Wells from the highway and turn on Azalea. And there's a few signs with arrows to help you get there.
All right, very good. And so basically on the east side, kind of.
Of Elkton, yes.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
And do you guys have a website up?
We do, yeah. It's quite rudimentary, but it's there.
And what's the address for that?
HaynesCreekVineyard.com.
All right, perfect.
You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook. We're actively posting there to tell people what's happening on a weekend or what wines we're featuring. We like to switch up what's in our kind of flight each week. So sometimes we'll bring out some old library wines or something new that's not released yet to keep it interesting. So there's always something new to taste.
And being a smaller size, when is your tasting room open?
We're open Saturday and Sunday. We've been closed for the month of January, so we'll reopen February 2nd.
All right. So, Allie, we're a couple of weeks out. We're like 17 days out from this event. I'm sure you have everything ready.
Well, you're going to come help with the centerpieces. Is that right, Kyle?
No. You don't want me helping with any kind of decoration if you want a successful event.
We've got a lot of great sponsors recruited. There's still some sponsorship levels available. All of those come with VIP tickets if anyone's interested. And then we've got a bunch of volunteers that help us at the event. Still kind of working on some silent auction items. But things are coming together. Yeah.
And you've been here, what, 3 years now? Two.
It'll be 2 years this spring. Yeah.
But with a background in wine.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been in the wine industry in lots of different facets for about 20 years. Started in the Walla Walla wine industry in Eastern Washington. Did some time in Portland in between then. So, you know, just been selling wine, been doing wine tours, been leading the Wine Growers Association. I love wine, I think. Yeah, that's it.
What's your favorite part about being in this whole industry?
It's the people. And I mean, these are you know, regular people, a lot of them have side jobs to try to make the whole wine industry thing work. But they are passionate about what they do. It's a blending of science and art. I mean, it's just a tough industry. But it's people that, you know, are willing to help each other out. You know, if there's, you know, a potential wildfire up at near Spire Mountain, you know, Kevin Coleman's getting phone calls of, do you need any help? Can I help move barrels for you? Do you have livestock that needs to be moved? I'll bring my trailer. I'll be there tonight. I mean, you've just got a wine industry that's so supportive of each other instead of competing with each other, as you said earlier. So we're really, you know, trying to put the Umpqua Valley on the map and just, you know, supporting each other, you know, doing the best we can. Yeah.
All right, just about out of time. Again, how do people get tickets?
Yeah, so they can go to our website, umpquavalleywineries.org, and get tickets that way.
And again, the date?
It is February 1st. It's a Saturday, and it's an evening event from 6 to 9 at Seven Feathers Casino Resort.
Allie Rogers and Michelle Nicol, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.